Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Lost Feather by Mary Bright. Narrated by Reagan West and Gabriel De Leon. Chapter 1. Feather. Red and blue lights splintered the chilly Chicago night, painting swirling colors on the paramedics and police outside the Wright Children's Home. My home for the past few years, though not anymore. I shifted my thin, mostly bare legs on the hard vinyl seat of the squad car, watching through the wire mesh as the former Mr. Marcus Wright was bagged and loaded up into a waiting ambulance. I shivered uncontrollably and glared down at the dancing pink and purple unicorns on my shorty pajamas. The next time I killed someone in winter, I really needed to make sure I was wearing a coat. Or socks, at least. Jail was always colder than a brass toilet seat in Siberia. I was pretty sure jail was where I was headed, too. At least until I died. I hoped my next life was in Fiji. I could handle a few years of eating papayas and shouting a friendly, "Bula!" to all the tourists. Trying to get a bit warmer, I folded my blood-spattered legs underneath me, though moving made my stomach churn. My head hurt like someone had tried to cave in my skull. My right eye wouldn't focus, and my teeth chattered nonstop. But when I caught sight of Lily's sweet young face in an upstairs window of the home and saw her waving wildly, I smiled. It was all worth it to know I had saved my young charge. It was why I'd come here in the first place, to protect her innocence and her life. I couldn't wave since I was cuffed. I lifted my chin instead and blew a kiss back. A fresh surge of agony coursing through my body as I shifted position. Then movement right outside the squad car drew my attention. The grizzled detective who'd questioned me earlier had returned, with his fresh-faced blonde partner in tow, stopping right outside.
"Like I was saying, it's harder than you think to get a knife into the heart in one thrust. And she used a regular table knife."
The detective opened his door and slid into the driver's seat, waiting for his partner to shut his own door before continuing.
"There's no way she could do it without help or training. Look at how small she is. Can't believe she's 18. And she's not injured at all. She could be on something," his partner suggested. "PCP? Maybe. PCP, or pure luck."
"Not pure," I muttered, grateful as one of them turned the heat on and a rush of exhaust-tinged air warmed the interior slightly.
"What'd you say?"
the partner asked, twisting around to squint at me. I stared into his moon-shaped face, reading the faint, insignificant shadows on his soul, and smiled. He was a good guy. Mostly. "Not pure. Not luck. And it's the fifth time I've done that this century." It was the truth, but the guy just shook his head.
"Drugs. Such a shame."
When the car turned the first corner, I fell over, and the excruciating pain that resulted sent me, at last, into unconsciousness.
"Did you mean to kill Marcus Wright?"
The unfamiliar voice intruded on one of my favorite dreams. Four strapping Greek powerlifters taking turns feeding me chocolate-dipped grapes and massaging me with warm, scented oils as I swam back up through layers of pain. Was it the detective? My splitting headache made speech impossible, but I thought, yeah,
Don't you think he had it coming?
The deep voice came again, and I knew it wasn't the detective now. I'd never heard this voice before.
Did you kill him intentionally?
Though his tone was brusque, the voice itself was smooth, like melted chocolate and sunlight and warm sand. Almost as sexy as the raspy, mysterious voice I usually hallucinated between lives, but slightly lighter. Was someone in the squad car with me? I struggled to open my eyes, but it felt like I had million-pound weights attached to my eyelids. I could feel the hard seat beneath me, the purr of the engine as we moved, and the jolting of the brakes. My shoulders ached from being restrained, and the all-encompassing pain that had taken me under was still there. I couldn't have been out for more than a few minutes. I tried to move my head, but my muscles wouldn't respond. Not even my lips. What's going on? I thought the question as loud as I could. Who is that? Who are you? The question rumbled like distant thunder through my mind, low and intense, the kind of voice you dream about giving commands in the bedroom. Not that I'd ever had that sort of fun. Honestly, the BDSM stuff I'd seen on the internet seemed like overkill for what in my experience was a minute of sweatiness, followed by an apology and a promise that's never happened before. But for that sexy voice, I would take my chances. Heck, I'd probably tie myself to a bed. Answer me, murderer! Okay, so sexy and judgy as hell. That's correct, the voice answered. You are being judged. Did you kill that man intentionally? Internally, I sighed. Lying wasn't worth the extra pain. But I had a feeling this guy wouldn't like my answer. I did. He was silent long enough that I wondered if he had left. When he spoke again, his voice held a note of confusion. Who are you? Feather. Lie! A flicker of pain shocked me, like someone had laid a burning branch against my face. Ow! I told you my name! That isn't your name. Lie again, and your judgment will be more severe. Your name, now! I didn't have a better answer. I mean, murderer was certainly accurate, but I didn't know who I really was, or even what I was. I don't know, I admitted, after another tiny flick of fire landed on my arm. It used to be Tilly. I call myself Feather. A vast silence thrummed in my ears. You do not remember? We will discover who made you and what you are, besides a murderer. Great. He'd heard my thoughts. And who was we? I hear every thought. Awkward. I guess he'd also heard all the sexy thoughts. Ugh, this was so not my day. Well, it wasn't like I'd ever meet sexy, judgy voice guy in the real world. Might as well play along. So, I have a theory.
A theory?
A hot press of fire brushed my neck when I hesitated. Ugh, stop that! Whatever it is. It felt like a knife made out of lava. And I was definitely not into knives, no matter how sexy the guy.
I'll stop when you answer me.
I take it back. I don't want to play punishment bedroom games with you. What kind of jerk just breaks into a woman's mind and starts demanding answers when she has a migraine and is covered in blood? Who the helter-skelter are you? The silence stretched into a steel edge.
Answer me.
Like I said, I have a theory. I took an imaginary deep breath. The last time I'd admitted this, I'd ended up eating all my meals with spoons and sitting in a circle in group therapy, drooling from the effects of some very strong psychotropic meds. I think I'm a superhero.
A super what?
I know. But I can do stuff. Or stuff happens around me. Time moves slowly when I need it to. The voice didn't answer for a moment, and the deeper growl took me by surprise when he finally spoke again.
When you need it to.
Yeah, like tonight, when Wright was trying to hurt Lily. More than hurt, and my mind bloomed with gratitude that I had been there to save her from so much worse. And I needed to stop him, and there was a knife, but not close enough.
So you needed time to kill him?
Not exactly, I thought quietly. It seemed like he had already decided I was a simple murderer, so explaining wouldn't help. I'd been trying to save Lily from becoming a killer, but this guy wouldn't believe me, I could tell. Whatever, I thought, as loud as possible. Had to get the right angle, you know? It's harder than you'd think to kill a guy with a table knife. A chill filled the imaginary room. The silent, frigid moment stretched longer as I waited for another flick from the invisible blade. This was getting old. It was time to start making excuses to some very nice detectives. See if I could talk my way out of jail. Without lying. I wouldn't add even the tiny sin of deceit to the ones I'd already committed. Had to commit. But it was still pitch dark. I wish I could see you, or see anything. Are you holding my eyes shut? I mean, this is a very strange chat we're having. I wonder if I've lost my mind. Is this what crazy feels like? Maybe I'm in a coma, or...
Do you ever stop? The voice snapped out.
It's my hallucination, I snapped back. So I guess not. What the hello do you want me to tell you anyway? A pulse of anger.
The word is hell. It's what the Abyss wants with you that has me concerned. You saved the girl.
She has a name. Lily.
Lily, then. You saved her life, and then her soul when you took the knife from her, and the smut on yourself. The evil you bear now.
So much for hiding my thoughts. It's called smut? He could see the burden I carried. The heaviness that coated my soul when I protected my vulnerable and defenseless charges. No one ever had before. Not even I could. Though I felt it in every moment of every life.
Tell me about your smut.
I snorted mentally and thought of a wide, innocent smile. This guy knew way too much about the state of my soul. But it was entirely possible he'd also peeked at my online reading history. Oh, crud. Did he know about my orc porn?
You are covered in it.
I know. I'm like a black hole of smut. Ha! Huh. That sounds like a porno. The fire cracked on my calf this time, though not as hard. Gah! That hurts! And... not in a good way. And the smut already knocked me back, so can I just rest, asshole? Only the pain radiating from my soul kept me from using a real curse word right now. This guy deserved it. But I knew deep down that one F-bomb would break me.
Asshole? What the? Just tell me, why did you do it? Why protect the child at such cost to yourself? I didn't answer at first, but maybe this guy would leave if I did. I have to, you know? I can, so I must. Can what? Protect her. Them. As many of them as I can. It's like an obsession. I hear a calling. It says protect, so I do. The pause was even longer. Then I heard more words, the voice slightly distant now, like he was holding his mental telephone away from his ear and talking to someone else. He murmured something that sounded like, I can't believe it. She can't be. We're not missing any protectors. She's foul and has an equally filthy mind. Yeah, well, you're not going to win Mr. Congeniality either. Can I go now? I'm super sick of this nightmare. You are the most disrespectful protector I have ever witnessed. The way the voice said the word protector made me think it wasn't just a word. It was a job title. Or something more. Wait, that's what I am? A protector? Apparently so. Your time on Earth is at an end. Prepare yourself to be extracted tonight. What? Extracted? That sounded painful. I'm not a freaking tooth, scary voice dude. There was no answer, of course. By morning, I'd been processed at the county jail. By that evening, I was assigned to a solitary cell. The next day, when the guards buzzed open my cell and found my body lying cold, no one thought much about it. I watched from the top of the room, a wisp of invisible, pissed-off smoke, as two men carried my corpse away. Just another statistic. Another soul who'd never really had a chance. A feather lost in a storm. Chapter 2. Feather. I floated through layers of unconsciousness, my mind as clouded as a winter sky. I knew that once I emerged from the final layer of sleep, the pain would begin. Every old life ended, and each new life began with suffering. The thought of the familiar torment ignited a panicky wobble in my chest, like my heart was trying to leap away before the white-hot searing started. It always hurt. Every time I took the weight of evil from someone into myself, the silver-gray shadows that somehow I could see swirling inside the people around me, I suffered burning agony. Bearing it grew easier after a while, or maybe I grew stronger underneath the load. But in between my lives, while I grew accustomed to the new burden on my soul, I suffered indescribable pain. The only thing that helped was remembering why I did it. My first charge had been my sister Dina, near Rome, around 1600 AD. Then Dominic in Normandy. I chanted the names internally as I waited for the pain to hit. Dina, Dominic, Suzanne, Bemmy, Mylin, Ivan, Nguyen, Beatrice, and so many more, dozens of them. 400 years of moments like this, choices I'd made. And then at last, Lily. Their names were a mantra against the coming wave of agony. I thought my way through another layer of memory, keeping my eyes closed, wondering where I'd find myself this time, this life. Dang, Wherever it was, they had some seriously high thread count sheets. I ran a hand underneath me. Had I finally come back as a princess? The daughter of some rich family? Oh, yeah! Wait. Something was wrong. This wasn't how it worked. For one thing, I wasn't an infant, and I only ever got pain, not softness. A disappointingly familiar voice intruded on my confusion. Purify her! Ah, nice. Mr. Sexy Voice was back. No, not sexy. Don't think sexy. He can hear me. But he obviously wasn't listening now, since he kept talking to the lower, grumbling voice.
I have tried. This is as clean as she'll get without more severe measures.
A new voice, equally as sexy sounding, but in a lumberjack, construction worker, chain smoker sort of way. Growly Bear. That's what I'd call him.
Where did you find her? Is she even a protector, Gavriel? She doesn't feel like one of mine.
Sexy voice. No, Gavriel made a frustrated noise. Then he answered.
I'm not sure. I was following a flux in the balance. The area over the city where I found her was falling to the abyss. An entire region.
So many choices for evil. All at once?
It's that bad now?
Yes. They're determined to worsen the imbalance and tear down the gate.
But then, right after I arrived, there was a flare.
Growly Bear echoed him.
A flare? Of what? If I didn't know the current protectors we have on Earth are all too weak, I would have said it was a great sacrifice. A flare of pure soul energy. I arrived to find this foul thing, covered in stains and blood, a knife in her hand. A man dead at her feet. She's a murderer. She admitted it.
Growly Bear muttered something in a language I didn't know that kind of hurt my ears. Then he asked,
What caused the flare? Was there another protector there?
No. And when I looked back in the minds of humans around her, they all remembered it the same way. This thing took the knife from a child's hand and turned it on the man, killing him.
Then she's...
Growly Bear sounded so sad. I wanted to leap up and hug him. But then Gavriel went on.
Yes. She must be unmade.
Unmade? Did he mean they might kill me? Growly Bear said another string of words that literally hurt like needles poking my eardrums.
We don't have enough protectors as it is.
I know, but can we afford to expose the others to the evil she carries?
It could spread.
It felt as if someone was pounding across a floor toward me. Was unmade the same as extracted? It sounded bad anyway. Maybe permanently bad. I held everything, even my eyeballs, completely still. Growly Bear spoke again, nearer this time.
Why didn't you take care of this before now? You brought her here. What else happened, Gav?
Gavriel sighed. I could almost feel his indecision.
When she took the knife, she prevented the child from committing murder. She saved the child?
His next words sounded like they were being forced out of him.
Yes, she saved the girl and kept her from killing. Then, after this protector murdered the man, she took his soul smut as well.
A long pause.
She cleansed his soul, redeemed him before he died.
Growly Bear grumbled two words.
Oh, hell.
Exactly,
Gavriel answered.
She may be an agent of the Abyss, but she changed the balance in Chicago. For the first time in a century, it's more light than shadow.
She shifted the balance that much? Be that as it may, if she murdered, you see the challenge.
Don't worry, I know how attached you are to your creations.
If she cannot be cleansed, I'll unmake her myself.
The silence was almost unbearably heavy.
I was almost positive now that unmaking meant killing.
The H.E. double hockey sticks with that? I am out of here. I opened my eyes a tiny crack, although everything still looked dim.
Good, she's waking. I'll leave her with you. Find out her name,
Gavriel said, his voice growing faint.
But be careful, if she's truly as foul-spirited as she smells, then her smut might not only be dangerous to her own soul, it could spread to the others.
Did you say I stink? Oh, good. My mouth was working now. The dimly lit room swam as I whipped my head around. What a judgmental jerk you are, you big butt-munching... I blinked and rubbed at my crusty eyes, bringing someone into focus. But to my dismay, it wasn't Sexy Voice, Gavriel. There was only one person in the room with me. It was Growly Bear. And he was pissed.
You dare,
the giant man said too calmly.
You dare to call a high Angelus such degrading names.
He loomed over me in a sort of long, golden toga robe that gaped open, revealing a torso covered with dark whorls of hair and silvered scars. A lot of scars, and even more muscles. Abs. So many abs. The giant had muscles on top of the muscles most guys had. Like tiny little muscles in the cracks between the big bulgy ones. Was this my Greek bodybuilder fantasy? I glanced at his huge scarred hands. Nope, no grapes. They always fed me chocolate-dipped grapes in that dream. And they were naked. Growly Bear would probably put them all to shame, though. Wait, I was getting distracted. But when I scooted back and focused, I decided I had good reason to be. The guy had to be 6'6", and who knew how many feet across. My original thought that he was a bear wasn't too far off the mark. There definitely could be some Kodiak back in his family tree. He must have weighed 250 pounds, all of it brawn. I swallowed hard as his forearm swam into view. Why was I suddenly so desperately thirsty? Maybe I should stop staring at Growly's arm muscles. I succeeded, but only because I caught sight of something behind the massive arms. Feathers. Long, sweeping, feathery appendages. Holy swizzle sticks! Wings! Made of luminous, tawny bronze feathers that were just the slightest bit darker than Growly's shining, golden brown skin. The feathers touched the marble floor and went all the way up over his shoulders. His deep chestnut hair was wavy and shining, sweeping over his forehead, then down almost to his cheekbones. What I could see of his face was strangely textured. The skin on his neck and along his jawline rough, but not with stubble, with marks. Were they more scars? Burns of some kind? Like a rug that had lain too close to a fire, covered and scattered with popping embers. Whatever had happened, it had marred what had obviously once been a perfect canvas. Perfection was overrated, I decided, as my fingers itched to feel that texture, to see if his skin...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?